Hi, I'm Mike Irby with Mike Irby Photography. I'm a commercial photographer and I create images for business marketing and advertising. If you are a business owner, marketing professional, or advertising manager and are looking to improve the quality of your marketing message, I can help. My clients include local, regional, and national clients of all sizes. The areas I work in include executive portraits, architectural, product, real estate, both residential and commercial, and virtually all other areas of marketing photography. Let's talk about your upcoming project. Please call my cell at 267-210-1817. Again, that's 267-210-1817. Thanks.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Balanced Life. I'm Kim Kennedy here with Susan Locke.
Hello, Kim.
We're so glad that you could be with us, folks, and we're always excited to have our friends listening with us. And today, we have a good friend. You've become a good friend very quickly of ours, Mike. We have Mike Irby of Mike Irby Photography. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to be here.
We're glad you're here. And folks, just let me give you a little bit of background information on Mike. He's been a commercial photographer for 39 years. He's a graduate of Antonelli Institute based in Erdenheim here in Montgomery County.
Yes.
And he currently serves on the advisory committee for the school. He produces marketing and advertising for photography for local, regional, and national clients. After graduating from Antonelli, he worked at a commercial studio in Philadelphia. After several years, Mike became a staff photographer with Gimbel's Department Store. I remember Gimbel's, Mike.
Yes.
It was a great place. In 1978, he moved to Wilkes-Barre and started an in-house catalog studio. After 10 years, Mike moved on to Omaha, Nebraska and started his second in-house studio for Pomida Retail. In 2001, Mike moved on to Meridian Advertising, an agency, and managed their in-house studio. Meridian produced all of Kmart's advertising and managed the production of Martha Stewart's photography for Kmart. That position ended in 2004, and you returned to this area and started your business in 2005. About 30% of your work is executive portraits, 50% is architectural, and the remaining 20% is comprised of food, corporate, event, product, and everything else.
Yes, Kim.
Okay. Sounds really good. Sounds very interesting. And today we want to get started by learning a little bit more in depth about yourself and your business. And when you started your business, you say you didn't need to learn anything about photography. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
Absolutely. Thank you, Kim. The interesting thing, being in the field literally for 39 years, is I have seen the transition from the very beginning when everyone was just using film to now digital. So the big difference is when you would use film, you'd photograph whatever it was on the film. You take the film to the processor. The processor would either give you negatives, prints, or transparencies back from the film. But when digital came along, you have to post-process the digital images, and you really have to learn how to do that correctly if you're going to deliver professional results in final images. So what I mean about the transition, working in the corporate world, I had designers and people that would work on those images for post-processing. So they would check the color, brightness, density, sharpen, anything that had to be adjusted, they would adjust it. But when you're working for yourself or by yourself, I figured I'm either going to have to learn the post-processing, which is Photoshop or other software programs, or I'm going to have to send it out. If you send it out, now it's going to take more time. There's going to be an added expense that the client probably isn't going to be able to offset. And if you don't know what can be done, you don't know what to ask for or what the pricing may be. So if I figured, well, the photography, I believe I'm at a very top level. And I said, now I'm going to get my digital post-processing to the same level. So after 10 years, I feel that I've accomplished that. And it's really fun because digital, the beauty of digital is I can control everything. If I photograph a room or a remodel and someone says the room is finished except that current paint color is going to change, I can say, give me the new paint and I will digitally paint the walls. Mm-hmm. And you can do that pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So the beauty of digital, especially with the architectural work that I do, if there's a light out in a 24-foot ceiling. I just turn it on in Photoshop. So being able to, that's what I mean by being able to control everything. There hasn't been one request that a client has had that I haven't been able to honor, and I pretty much would defy anybody to say, oh, that looks Photoshopped or it looks fake. It's interesting, too, how many people I've had to take out of group photos. I have a client I've been working with for 5-6 years. They are a medium-sized law firm. And when we do the group photo with the attorneys, there could be 13, 15, 17 attorneys there. Obviously, that takes some logistics planning as well as the cost for all those attorneys to, you know, take off for half an hour or an hour. So it never seems to fail about, even as short as 3 months, 30 days after we do the group photo, I get the call from the admin and it's like, oh, so-and-so has left the firm. Can you take them out? So I look at the image and I said, yes. Now I'm going to have to rebuild whatever the background is, because you don't just move people in the backgrounds there. There's nothing there. So, but that's been fun. Just being able to change things. The people on, when they look at my Facebook account, and my Facebook account is only for the business. I don't really have anything personal on there, but I put people in situations that they never were in, but you really can't tell. And that's really fun for me. Just if I see something and I know somebody well, I'll have a little fun and we'll put them somewhere that they never were.
Sounds like digital has really changed the photography industry drastically.
It has. Digital, and it was an interesting, here's a little fact. So 10 years ago when I started the studio, I literally had to buy everything new. And when I was in Philadelphia in the camera store, I asked the manager, I said, what's the Philadelphia market like? Have all the professionals switched over to digital? And he just broke up laughing. And he said, no. He says, maybe 25% have switched over. And I said, well, are you seeing everyone going to be switching over? And he says, no. He says, the dinosaurs are just going to hang on to the film as long as it's available, and they'll keep shooting that. Because back to what I said a little bit earlier, you have to really learn about the post-processing of digital images. The marketing companies, the camera companies, their marketing has done a great job in marketing how good, the quality, how professional these cameras are. But they've also done a disservice, because people buy the camera for $300, $600, $3,000, whatever the price is, and they expect the images to be perfect coming out of the camera. And that's not the way it works. So many times I've had, you know, clients or someone, they have their, quote, in-house HR person or marketing person, and they'll try to do their own photography. But they will say, well, it doesn't look like yours, or it doesn't look like this professional's. And I say to them, well, what post-processing have you done? And they're like, what's that? So think about it. When you shot film, whether you were just a consumer or a professional, you dropped that film off to be processed at your lab. And when you went back to get it, the lab had done the post-processing, but you don't really know what the lab did. So they're either handing you negatives, prints, transparencies, and you didn't have to do anything with it. Well, that lab doesn't exist easily for the digital. So you either have to learn how to do it yourself, or have someone that is capable of doing the post-processing handle those images. But digital, again, from just the standpoint of being able to control, literally control everything in that scene, is just a tremendous advantage. Whether it's people, whether we're enhancing the person, that is the fun thing about Photoshop. It's also knowing when to stop, because you're not trying necessarily, especially with people, you're not trying to turn them into fake or, you know, Barbie doll looking people or Ken looking. So you have to know when to stop.
Sounds like the hobbyist Mike should take some Photoshop courses or something like that. Because I have to admit, on one of them, I see these gray cameras and it's like, oh, you just click, point and click, and voila.
Voila. Yes.
Not so.
Well, to a point. But when you get into what's needed for professional use, I mean, it's fine. And the secret is, in my own family, my wife takes all the photos, unless there's a real reason for me to do them. but you really just have to decide, you know, what the quality needs to be. And for print, for advertising, for marketing people, it has to be at a certain level. And that's where we are.
Okay. Professional photography, you tell us, does really matter today. Why is that?
For the same reason, again, 10 years ago, when digital started coming on, you know, fairly strong, people thought, well, I'll just buy that camera, as we said earlier, or they started the stock photo companies where you can go on the stock and there's tens of thousands of images, and companies would say, well, I just need a generic photo of whatever it was they needed, a loaf of bread, a company meeting, anything that they would use to represent their business. And really, website development, digital, think about it. It's not really been that long that all of this technology really got started. So if we go back 15 years ago, that's really when it was just really getting started, and then look where we are today. But the stock companies also got smart, where before they would charge hundreds and thousands of dollars for a single image, depending on use. They knew that with the technology, they were going to have to come down in their prices. So I find it interesting that I look at a website and I see, and I know the company, and I'll look at all this imagery and its stock. Doesn't, in my mind, it doesn't really represent the company legitimately. So just the fact of stock changed, digital changed, stock changed, and my thought is, if you're going to be a company and you're going to be professional, I think you should represent who you really are. And that's where I, you know, have really tried to go to make the professional photography the best, good quality, work within budgets. Everybody has a budget. We all know that.
Sounds like, Mike, you're the kind of person who could help a small business, someone just starting out, really make them look like $1,000. I guess I should say $1,000,000. Are you, can I be forthright and say, are you affordable for a small business, a new startup?
Absolutely. Having had really 27, 28 years in the corporate side, I knew how to deal with corporations. Starting my own business, in all honesty, I knew nothing about small business. I didn't know what networking was. I didn't know, you know, how small businesses work. And as you just said, Kim, I can work with the sole proprietor, the one person office, and then sometimes we'll have like a regional office, and I work with national clients. I've worked with Wells Fargo, Citibank, Dunkin' Donuts, not sure who else. But that's the fun thing for me. Knowing the corporate side, I can walk in with total confidence and talk to all those people in the room. As you said earlier, a good 30% of my business is executive portraits, which are shot on location. So I'm in boardrooms, office rooms, meeting rooms every week, and I'm working with C-level people, owners, presidents, and I find that very interesting. As a commercial photographer, you do wear many hats. If I'm working with a client, I may be, and I probably am, I'm the producer, I'm the photographer, I'm the stylist, I'm the director, I'm the art director. And when you are working with, again, C-level professional people or celebrities or elected officials, you as the photographer have to be in control nicely, but you have to be sometimes assertive, and you have to help them understand what it is you're trying to do so that you get the right photos that they in the end, they need. So that's your 15 seconds of power and fame when you're getting to, quote, order the executives around. And we do that quite nicely.
But a picture says 1,000 words, and that first impression is invaluable. And a good photography can enhance that and really make a difference. Interestingly, Mike, you say that real estate photography, you're saying that 96% is garbage. Well, that's blunt. Why do you say that?
Because I look at real estate listing photography all of the time, because I also produce that type of photography for realtors. And that goes back to, why would a realtor who's a professional, and if you're going to be professional, I believe you have to do everything associated with your client in a professional manner. Why would I want to list my $300,000 home, my $1.3 million home, my 40-acre estate with a realtor who thinks it's really a great idea to capture my property with a cell phone camera or a tablet camera. And this is what you're seeing. You're seeing dark images, blurry images, out of focus images. Oh, by the way, when builders build properties, they don't build in the distortion. So if verticals aren't vertical and horizontals aren't horizontal, that's amateur night. So you think about it. You know, a realty listing is 6 or 7%, I believe, on the consumer side. And, you know, if the professional realtor is being paid, you know, good money to, you know, represent that property, I think a little bit more could be spent on quality photography. The interesting thing, too, if you go out on the Zillow site for realtors or you go on the Houzz, H-O-U-Z-Z site, you will see fabulous photography and you will see garbage photography. So, and I've also done the study where price of the home doesn't have anything to do with the quality of the photography. I've seen 1.2 million properties that have garbage photography, and I've seen $300,000 homes that have gorgeous photography.
Does it make a difference? Do you know this in how quickly it sells and what they get?
It does. And what it makes a huge difference is amount of traffic looking at that property. I'm calling it a point prover. I've said to the realtors, and I'm still working on this. This is a 2 year into my third year at this point. I said to a realtor, if I can deliver architectural quality photography at a value listing cost, it should be a no-brainer. Pick up the phone and call me. So what I did, I put together a tiered pricing program for real estate listings, starting at $250. Then there's a second level at $350 and a third level maxed out at $450. And that just has to do with, it's not really the cost of the home, it's the size of the property. For some of my realtors, they'll send me out to a 12-acre, 40-acre estate that has a pond and a swimming pool and outbuildings, and I'll spend a good 3 hours on site. Think about this, though. We were talking earlier about the post-production. My rule of thumb is for the hours that I will spend in the photography, the raw photography, post-production is 3 times that amount of time. So if I spend 2 hours on site photographing a property, I will spend at least 6 hours in Photoshop and software program. So wanting to work with realtors and showcase, and that's the word I use, let's showcase your property, because as you said, Kim, the more, you only need one buyer. So the more people that we can get to the property, and now with social media, so whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, if you post the property images all over the web, more and more people are going to see that. I'm working right now with Manny DeMutis in Phoenixville, and he is the developer of the new Phoenix Village property. It's a 275 residential apartment unit and mixed-use retail. I started photographing that property 2 years ago, the day before they did groundbreaking, and I do the weekly progression photography. But now they've taken delivery on the first unit. So now we're doing my favorite photos, which is the pretty glamour shots. So whether it's a panoramic of the lobby area or the common areas, that's the type of architectural that I just really enjoy.
Do you do the virtual tour as well, Mike?
I can do the virtual tour if a client needs that. And for realtors, we can put the images on Trend, and I can deliver high-res print images and web version images for anyone. That's just what I normally do.
Well, so far, Mike, you've described that you have a wide variety of clients, corporate, small business, individuals, builders, remodelers, interior designers, realtors, commercial property managers, marketing managers, event planners, etc. Any room in there for somebody who, we've got the holidays coming up, somebody who wants a family portrait or, you know, a special occasion, Mark? You probably don't do weddings, I'm guessing.
I don't do weddings. That's about the, let me rephrase that. I don't generally do weddings, nor do I advertise for weddings, but I do have friends and clients and people who will say, hey, Mike, you know, we're just having a small service. There's not going to be, you know, that many people. I'm not interested in doing 10 hours at a wedding. For one reason, the wedding photography, along with the digital, has really progressed to a fabulous level. I'm really impressed with some wedding photographers, not all. as would be. But I would rather leave that work up to them, where they have taken their level to the same level, but as maybe myself in the commercial side, but they're doing it for the weddings. I also don't, because I do work. I work 7 days a week if necessary. My little joke is I'm available. My normal hours are 24/7. But should you need me outside my normal hours, let me know. But because of architectural, if I can shoot a property at the appropriate time, meaning we have time, the weather, if it's an exterior shot, there's really only two times of the day to photograph an exterior of a property professionally. It's morning daybreak or it's sunset. It's called the golden 15 minutes, golden hour, has several different names. But you don't want to shoot properties at high noon on a sunny day if you can help it and if you have time. I've had to sometimes go into commercial situation where a commercial realtor had properties in New Jersey, and they wanted them all shot in the same day. Well, that's fine, but I'm not going to be able to go back, you know, four mornings or four, you know, evenings. So we have to just shoot that when we can. But no, that's one of the things that is so fun about what I do, having the variety. And off air, we were talking about the fact that cooking is my hobby. So when I shoot food for restaurants, if they don't necessarily have to hire a food stylist, the chef is going to prepare the dish as he would for, you know, to serve it. So if there's something that we need to change on the dish just to do the enhancement, I work with the chef and I can do the food styling right along with the chef. Mm-hmm. So the three studios that I managed prior to starting my business, we had full working kitchens and we would make whatever had to be made for the shoot.
Well, Mike, it's clear that you provide a great service to your clients. You obviously care about what you do. And you just don't go in haphazard. You think through what you're doing and you provide a highly professional product. You're a busy guy. How do you maintain balance in your own life?
Well, that's one of the fun things, I guess, about owning your own business. Now, I already had said that if I have to go out at night at 7 o'clock on a Friday night and shoot something for a client, great. If it's the weekend morning and it's 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday or Sunday, great. But having said that, if my family needs something, or my youngest daughter is in eighth grade, and if there's something going on with the school during the day, and say it's 2 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon, if I want to go there and I'm not shooting, I just go to the family event. So that is one of the fun things, being able to have that flexibility. You know, there's pluses and minuses with the corporate world as well as small business. And yes, as I said, starting out, I knew nothing about small business, but now I do. And learning how to network effectively has been a very important piece to that puzzle. But there does have to be a balance. And occasionally, just really in this year alone, I have had to turn down a couple of projects that they just wanted them quicker than I was going to be able to deliver. So I would rather not take on that project and then be available for, you know, whatever my clients need. I do not have any bad clients. I have zero bad clients. In all honesty, I sometimes have to fire a client. They can fire me, I can fire them. I'm not Donald Trump. But the fun thing is, if a client is just going to zap your energy and strength, and no matter how professional you work with them, it's not right, or it costs too much, or whatever it is, I understand. Everyone has budgets. So do I. So I would rather turn down a project, because in the early days, I had to learn how to say no. No is now my most favorite word, and I use it quite often.
Very well stated, Mike. A really great approach to your business and to your personal, keeping a balance. We really enjoyed hearing about that.
Thank you.
And if somebody wants to find out more about your services, how do they get in touch with you?
Thank you. Well, the primary connection would be my cell phone. My cell phone number is 267-210-1817. Secondly, my website is mikeirbyphotography.com. You can also find my profile on the Zillow website and the Howls website. And all of those connections are in my email. So you can just send me an email, m underscore Irby at Comcast.net.
Very good. Mike, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you so much. Hi, I'm Mike Irby with Mike Irby Photography. I'm a commercial photographer and I create images for business marketing and advertising. If you are a business owner, marketing professional, or advertising manager and are looking to improve the quality of your marketing message, I can help. My clients include local, regional, and national clients of all sizes. The areas I work in include executive portraits, architectural, product, real estate, both residential and commercial, and virtually all other areas of marketing photography. Let's talk about your upcoming project. Please call my cell at 267-210-1817. Again, that's 267-210-1817. Thanks.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station.
WFYN. Hi, I'm Randy Bennett, founder and owner of Managers to Leaders, LLC. Better managers make better companies. Customer satisfaction and repeat purchases depend on how employees are managed, helping to create better managers and leaders. You can reach me at 610-247-4280 or at randy.bennett@managerstoleaders.net. Contact me to see firsthand how improving performance in the workplace improves the quality of life for all.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Balanced Life. Welcome back, folks, and we are so glad that you're with us. We're having a great day here along with Susan Locke.
Good morning, everyone.
And today we have in the studio Randy Bennett. Randy, welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Glad you are here. And Randy Bennett, folks, is the founder and owner of Managers to Leaders, LLC. Managers to Leaders helps create better managers and leaders. He has brought a career's experience in organizations from startups to Fortune 100 companies and found ways to apply it for the real job creators in America, small and middle-sized businesses. Hear, hear. He has seen firsthand how improving performance in the workplace improves the quality of life for all. Better managers make better companies. Customer satisfaction and repeat purchases depend on how employees are managed. But what about after the workday is complete? The same skills that turn everyday managers into genuine leaders apply to every aspect of life and can ease the stresses and strains along the way. Well, it sounds like this is tailor-made for balanced life because you're talking about balance, Randy. And we are wondering, first of all, what exactly do you do with Managers to Leaders?
I am primarily a trainer, an educator, if you will. But my focus is on transferring skills to people who are either current managers are going to become managers, or people who have just decided that they can be a lot more than they are now, want to become genuine leaders.
And is there a type, Randy, that fits that mold, or does that apply to anyone at any position that they are in their job?
It's interesting that you ask that, because this has proven out over decades. The number one reason why people are promoted into management, number one reason, far and away, individual performance in a previous non-supervisory role. So in other words, you do your job really well, an opening comes up, you get promoted up to it. The number two reason, not quite as great because it's a little bit behind, is person's been around for a long time. They know how everything gets done, an opening comes up, they get promoted. But in both cases, that person has to go from managing themselves and their own work to managing and motivating and resolving the conflicts between and so on and so forth, a group of individuals. Mm-hmm. Very different set of skills.
Yes, indeed. Why do you do it? What made you get involved in this particular business?
I have, for a long time in my life, believed in the power of education to transform people. I've seen it in my life and in the lives of people around me. My mother retired as a teacher in the state of Maryland. My grandmother retired as a teacher in the state of Georgia 10 years after she had retired as a teacher in the state of Tennessee. And family legend has it that my great-grandmother taught in the Wheat Community School back in Tennessee. So with all that education running through, it's really hard to say this doesn't change people. You know, my grandmother taught first grade for almost 60 years. Take kids in who were illiterate. And when they left, they knew how to read and they knew how to write.
Well, it sounds like, Randy, that those skills have been passed on to you. We've known you through a networking group, NGIV, Networking Group of Indian Valley. We've had a chance to observe that you're a thoughtful, deliberate person. And when you speak, it is measured and it's understandable. You communicate very effectively. And I can see where that would transfer over into the position that you're doing now, teaching people how to lead, how to manage.
Well, thank you, first of all, for your kind words. But yes, it would. Let me take that just a step further, if I could. You or the listeners, you know, I will ask this question. What's a typical skill that you believe an effective manager should have? And I'm willing to bet that probably 90%, better than 90% of the listeners have said communication. Because not only do you have to be able to talk and speak well, you have to know how to listen and listen effectively to other people. But to play on what you did in your introduction, Kim, is that something that only applies between 8 and 5? No. It applies in every relationship we have and every aspect of our lives. So when a person receives training and they become a more effective listener, a better communicator, they become a better listener in their marriage, in their community life, their church life, wherever they are with their children.
So it's not compartmentalized. The training flows through, like you said, to every area of life. It's invaluable.
A life skill.
It does, yes. It's a genuine life skill. And in fact, this is commonly referred to, this whole list of things that I focus on, are commonly referred to as soft skills. But I don't refer to them that way. I refer to them, as you pointed out, as general skills. Because you need them in every aspect and everything that you do.
Are these the kind of skills, Randy, that can be taught in your experience? I'm sure you deal with all kinds of people who could be more gifted than others. But for those who aren't as gifted as others, can you still teach them?
These are all teachable, one degree of success or another with a lot of people, because we are individuals and we do have our own personalities and, let's admit it, our own baggage that we bring along. And that will affect the effectiveness of the teaching. But one of the things that I do, which is a bit different, is I spend time where we do the education, do the training with someone, spend 4 hours once a month focusing on communication or on leadership or on how to manage or avoid conflict, things like that. They then have a month to apply that before we pick up another skill and work on that. That's the best and the most effective way to get any behavioral change brought into play and to have it take effect with the individual.
It seems to me, Randy, that if the business takes these skills and applies them, they would hold on to employees, they would save time, they would improve interactive communication. In other words, a company could be a whole lot more productive. Has that been your experience?
I ought to get you to come work for me. yes, that has been my experience. Because you don't do these things without changing the way you relate to people. If your approach to managing conflict is, in so many words, I'm the boss, do it my way or leave, it's going to be a lot more difficult for you to get along with people than if you say, okay, I understand your point of view. I want you to understand my point of view, and then let's see where we can go to get this done, because it's got to get done. And we both agree on that. It's a very different thing. And so, yes, it does produce a better environment. You have a better environment. People are happier to come to work, more likely to come to work every day, and you can't help but be more productive and more useful. Also, because they are most likely then to be more pleasant and more professional when they're dealing with your customers. So your customers will want to come back more.
Very, 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 very interesting. And it's almost like those intangibles, but they're so important. And it sounds like you really help people to stay focused, stay on balance.
Yes, very much.
Well, Randy, what areas are you servicing? Are you servicing the Delaware Valley? How can people find out more about what you're doing?
Okay, I'm focusing primarily on Montgomery, Chester, Berks County. I would, you know, deal with some of the neighboring areas as well. And that's just simply because of travel time, particularly in some of the traffic that we have in the area. If people wanted to find out more about me, they can either get in touch with me by telephone or by email. By telephone, they could reach me at 610-247-4280. Now, if they wanted email, and this is a little longer, a little more complicated, it would be Randy, R-A-N-D-Y, period, Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, two T's, at, and this is all one word, all letters, managers2leaders.net.
Okay, that's great, folks. Randy, this is kind of unique. Do you have a lot of competition, people doing what you're doing? At least in my sphere of people I meet out networking and generally, you know, out about, I don't talk to too many people who do this for a living.
There are a fair number of people who do training, but they don't do training the same way that I do.
Yeah, what you're communicating to us is this is more about life skills. This isn't a formula. This isn't, you know, do these four things and your business will be fixed and you'll have this much productivity. You're really more about what I hear is someone who brings people together. You work with them.
Yes.
It's almost like that third person in the room who is hanging back and observing and brings that objective third voice and say, I've just made a diagnosis. Here's the problem. Like, am I reading you correctly?
Yes, pretty much. There are people who do coaching, which is kind of another part of what you're talking about. But to my knowledge, there's no one who combines the two. And as I said before, there's no one, you know, who does the training and then requires people to focus on what they've just learned for a month and then come back and say, this is how it worked for me. This is a problem that I had. Well, you know, we're going to be talking during the month anyway. But there's no one else that I know of who combines those.
Tell us about some of your satisfied customers.
Oh, well, it's a little more difficult for me because I do sign a non-disclosure agreement with people. But companies have ranged from contractors, specialty contractors such as electrical or other types, as well as general contractors. They have been individuals who've been involved in project management in the information technology area. They have been some manufacturing, a lot of service, because, again, when you're in service and you say the customer's king, you pretty quickly realize then that anybody who deals with the king has to at least be a prince.
Well said. Very well said, Randy. What are one or two things you would suggest for listeners to do right now as they're listening?
Well, I can give you two things. People can do this right now. They can start applying it this instant, and they can carry it forward. The first of those is to simply take time to reflect. It doesn't have to be long, a minute or two most. But when you've had a meeting, made a decision, and especially if you've done something unpleasant, take a few moments to reflect. What's going to happen to this other person or people in this relationship? What's going to happen with me? Could I have done this better? Could I have done something that would have avoided this situation having come up? So just take a minute or two to reflect after you do something significant. And the second thing is, again, something you could do now and carry on for the rest of your life. Understand the basis and the essential currency of every relationship you have. Work relationship, customer relationship, spousal relationship with your kids, with your parents, in church, in the community, civic organizations, wherever. The essential currency is trust. Is what I'm doing building trust, or is it detracting from trust? You always want to try to build, because at some point you will have to say to somebody, almost literally, look, just trust me on this. And it's what you've done before that moment arrives that will allow them either to go ahead and trust you or to start putting up some resistance.
Those are excellent points, and something I know I take for granted, I don't give enough thought to. And it's obvious that you're gifted in that, to remind us about that, to work on our primary relationships. Really, you summed up what the balanced life is about. You've been talking about that throughout the program, professionally, at home, to apply these principles. Really, to me, Randy, it comes down to really taking time to think and consider.
And to remember that it's a process. It's not an event. You backslide a little bit. Okay, you're human, and that will happen. But it's part of the process. You build from that and go forward.
And we need to remind each other of that and provoke one another, because we're human and each day things come up. So we're glad for people like you who do what you do. It's an invaluable service.
Thank you very much.
And I would think it can make the difference between helping companies go to that next level. So
it really can. It really can.
Kim and Randy, I'm just thinking as I listen to you here, especially the last word you spoke brought to mind scripture verse, Hebrews 10:24, which says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And, you know, you used the word provoke a while ago, and it just jogged my memory. And I thought, you know, I never really thought about this that much before, but to provoke one another to love and to good works. And that's really essentially what you're doing, Randy, because you're teaching people how to communicate well and how to function well in a group. And so, but that's, you know, the basis of it is this, to provoke unto love and to good works.
It's almost to the idea, Susan and Randy, of building one another up and to think positive. And it's hard because it's a tough economy. There's a million reasons why in a day, the frustrations, but just to remind yourself, be encouraging, you know, build each other up, talk, communicate, because a lot of times, I don't know about you, Randy, you probably see this all the time, when you assume you're usually wrong.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Well, think of it this way. We all are raised and we have parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, all of whom are concerned about us growing up as a good person. And so they all teach us by their example and by correction when we need it. And they teach us how to be that good, caring, considerate person. As we go through life, and particularly after we get into our organizations where we work, it becomes more difficult to remember all of those things. The pressures of everything are coming on. The economy pressures, you know, and should I chain myself to my desk or will I be able to come in here tomorrow? The pressures of changes in the business, in the environment itself. And we find ourselves relying on habits that we develop, and habits are not always good habits. So we need to be reminded, and when I talked earlier about transferring skills, this is also a part of what I do. I remind people. I help them to develop good habits to replace the bad habits that they've slid into.
It's a form of discipleship.
It really is.
That is a way to think of it. Yes.
Disciplining.
Yes.
Passing on those skills of discipline to people so they can discipline themselves.
Yes.
It's discipleship.
Yeah. Again, we fall into those bad habits because so much time has gone by since we were exposed to the people who were, you know, doing so much to raise us to be a good and considerate person. And we need to be reminded of them. We need somebody else, as you say, to remind us to have the self-discipline to, well, you know, Susan's done it again, but I'm not going to yell this time. I'm going to ask.
It's usually
what
Kim's
happened.
Done it again. That would be more appropriate.
Okay. That may be. She was closer to me. I didn't want her to feel left out. But, you know, I'm not going to yell this time. I'm going to find out what happened. In other words, I'm going to go back to the way I was originally brought up and apply those things.
Really, it just keeps coming back to thinking. And too often we fall into rote. It's easy to do that, you know, just habits, just like you said, and really to step back and think, Randy. And that is an invaluable skill, and it's too underestimated. Yes?
Yes. Yes, it is. That's why I say, you know, reflection can be such a powerful thing. That's just a minute or two to think, and it really doesn't take any more than that.
To pray and think.
Yes. You know, again, we know because of the way we were brought up. We sort of know if we've done something that could have been done a different way. But we don't take that moment just to think about it. And how could I have done this differently? Well, I could have not yelled first. I could have asked questions. You know, mm-hmm. Now you take that and carry it forward with you.
In your own life, Randy, what ways have you found to maintain a balanced life? What would you recommend to people? Or what works for you?
What works for me is that I found some hobbies and things that I truly love. And I was able to get back to doing them. Mm-hmm. And so now when I do my schedule, that time gets scheduled too. So if somebody says to me, we want to do this project this weekend, you know, this particular weekend, then I can say, oh, you know, I'm busy.
That sounds like wisdom.
Yes, indeed. Absolute priorities. Just really, Randy, a lot of people have problem with saying no. And priorities and say, well, this is good, but this is better, and making those choices.
It's good to remember that there is a way to be selfish that is good. And it's much like the way our heart is put together. You know, our heart pumps blood that feeds the rest of our entire body, but it first pumps blood to itself so that it can do the job for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And we need to do that as well, because there are people who rely upon us, maybe employees, certainly coworkers, but also certainly family and others in our neighborhood and the civic involvements that we have and the churches that we go to. And we need to be there for those people. So if that means I have to set a priority that once a month I'm going to go off and do this on a weekend, then you need to discipline yourself to do that.
Mm-hmm. And love others as we love ourselves. We have to love ourselves.
We have to love ourselves, yes. Because if we don't, that can let us self-justify treating other people in a lot of terrible ways.
That's true. And if we don't take care of ourselves, we're not well enough to do anything else anyway.
Exactly.
Yes, we. Some of us have experienced that here. Al and Susan really do quite a bit here. But I'm thinking of that verse. There's another verse. Actually, the Bible says a lot about balance. And this is where you come in, Randy, is in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And I appreciate that verse because someone like you can come in objective, no preconceived opinions or anything like that, and can really help in a company, in a situation, and give your counsel and help, come alongside and help the owner, the employees, and helping managers be more effective.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a skill that you have.
Well, it's a skill that requires a lot of what I teach other people. It requires some listening. It requires observation. It requires some analysis. And it requires having a broad enough base of experience that you can pull in from all of that. Not every company is going to be a Fortune 100 company. But there are things that go on in Fortune 100 companies that are just as applicable to any size organization they can be communicated.
Randy, do you work specifically with startup businesses, or do you go more for established businesses?
It tends to be established businesses, simply because startup businesses are always, they're scraping by for cash. Startup businesses could benefit from it, and I try to find some ways to work with them, because they're going – I talked about habits before. They're going to be establishing their habits for the organization from very early days and carrying them forward.
Are you willing to work with them on a consultant basis separate from the other programs that you have for established businesses on an as-needs basis, I guess is what I'm trying to say, like an hourly fee or something like that?
Yes, in several different regards. It can be an hourly fee. It can be consulting. It can be coaching. It can be a situation where they say, we're all great, we're all brilliant, and we're all fighting with each other. What can we do to change that and to eliminate the conflict? And I can say, well, I have a module. I pull it out of the program and let's just deal with that. Let me just say this. It applies to any organization. I talk about organizations rather than companies, because nonprofit organizations, churches, they all have similar sorts of issues and problems. But as a practice, I'll talk to any organization, any executive, any owner for, say, an hour or so, just talking about their business and my business. No sales, no nothing. Just listening to what they have to say and maybe giving some feedback along the way.
That's great. That's, just really, I hate to sound like hyperbole, but you have the gift of listening.
And I heard that.
Yeah. I know, as you're speaking, I keep thinking about how many times I interrupt people. And I'm aware of it, and I hate that habit in myself. And I'm listening to you as you're very precise. You take your time. And it's like, I want to learn that skill. So I guess I have to hang around you more, a little bit more often.
Well, I was brought up in the southeastern part of the country, and we tend to do that.
Yes.
I've noticed here among the northern tribes, let's call them, that there's a little more interruption that goes on.
Rush, rush, hurry, hurry, rush, rush. Mm. Yeah,
so. It does, and yet it doesn't really give us any more time in the day. Doesn't really give us any more time with one another, but it creates, I guess, a sense of purpose. It's good to have a sense of purpose. Let's redirect that. As I say, you have relationships everywhere, and they are as important in your work life as they are in your personal life. The same skills build both.
Mm. Extremely well said, Randy. You, Susan, I know.
Very good advice.
Yes, a lot to think about. Really quite a bit to think about, and I do like Southern people and always enjoy it when I go south. So,
well, y'all come on down.
Yeah, sure will. We have enjoyed our conversation with you, and we hope that you'll come back again sometime. And folks, we encourage you to check out Managers to Leaders. And Randy, any parting words?
I will say that it has been a pleasure and an honor to be here. And I would indeed like to come back. You all have made this very easy and very comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you here. I think doing is very needed and beneficial for companies.
Thank you very much.
Well, can you remind our listeners once again how they can get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me either by telephone at 610-247-4280, or they can try email, which is my name, Randy, R-A-N-D-Y, period, Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, at, all one word, managerstoleaders.net.
Folks, we've been talking with Randy Bennett, founder and owner of Managers to Leaders, LLC. This is someone that you should definitely contact and have a conversation with him. We thank you for joining us on The Balanced Life.
It's been an honor.
Thank you.
My home, be my song.
Hi, I'm Randy Bennett, founder and owner of Managers to Leaders, LLC. Better managers make better companies. Customer satisfaction and repeat purchases depend on how employees are managed, helping to create better managers and leaders. You can reach me at 610-247-4280 or at randy.bennett@managerstoleaders.net. Contact me to see firsthand how improving performance in the workplace improves the quality of life for all.
Trinity Associates Incorporated has been in the electrical power testing business for over 35 years. We've specialized in working for some of the biggest firms in Philadelphia, and indeed America. Not only do big firms appreciate our expertise because of their size, but they can compare us to our competitors. They appreciate our reasonable prices. In fact, many of the largest firms call us year after year for sometimes 35 years in a row. We can provide the same service for smaller firms, bringing the same expertise and reasonable prices. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated for your electrical power testing needs and a free quote. Not all electrical power testing firms are the same. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated at 610-876-6428. That's 610-876-6428. Visit their website at trinityassos.com. That's trinityassos.com.
It's about time. It's about space. It's about saving the human race. It's about...
Join
join me, your host, Art Cardos, for a special segment of It's a New Day called All In. Do you believe God wants you to prosper at home, in business, socially, and financially? You can't separate your faith from who you are and what you do. We will be discussing that and more on a live call-in show called All In. So join me every Thursday, 8 to 9, here on WFYL 1180 AM. Isn't it about time for us all to be all in?
Say a prayer. It's about you, it's about me, it's about time.